Thanks for having me, Jesse.
Thanks for joining me. Now, Alex, I do have some questions regarding Crown Casino. It's something I myself have pondered because I like to think I'm a very important person, but this Crown Casino is actually only open to their VIPs at the moment. And so, why is it only that select group of people that they are opening their doors to? And I suppose, do you see that changing anytime soon to affect the greater public?
Yeah, I mean, I think inevitably it will open. I think kind of what we see here is just the importance of Crown Casino kind of politically in order to get it open in any sense, in any kind of way. It makes sense to open it to VIPs, not only because they bring an advanced amount of money, but just in terms of kind of getting that operation going. I think then what it will mean is that when it opens the doors fully, it's less of a complete shock to the public in terms of questioning why is that opening, especially given all of the cases that it's been going through in terms of both in New South Wales, but also in Victoria and WA. So I think this example is something which we can see it opening kind of slowly. But I think also it is kind of inevitable that its doors will open fully at some time in the future.
I'm definitely waiting and keeping posted with the sort of developments that they're doing. I suppose I do need to address that sort of elephant in the room, why the Crown Casino was shut in the first place. We were told it was because they were unfit to hold a casino license. Can you enlighten me as to why exactly that was?
And I think there are many reasons as for this, and you're very right. After its New South Wales inquiry, it was seen to be unfit, and quite rightly, its doors were shut. And I think this was to do with the whole governance structure within Crown Casinos itself, right from the top to the bottom. And we've seen kind of a complete reshift of that organisation as part of kind of Crown to try and kind of show to, again, New South Wales State, but also to the public is a new operation. It's much cleaner than what it was. But in terms of kind of my work and my focus, looking at it, the biggest culpability is its risk, but also the kind of alleged money laundering practices that were taking place within the casino. Not in terms of there was any sense of kind of culpability, but I think we can see there was definitely negligence that was taking place. A huge amount of kind of risk that was opening up to investors, again, high rollers, VIPs coming in from China who have really strict money laundering practices. And really, kind of, we could see how Crown Casinos were just turning a blind eye to where this money was coming from and what it was being used for. And I think, we've seen this also with Star Casinos. It's really endemic within kind of casino operations across Australia. But this was kind of one of the key reasons why it was shut down and operations were closed.
Absolutely, Alex. And it's super interesting you mentioned the Star as well, because the public are currently able to go to the Star, whereas Crown Resorts have taken that different approach, only opening up their doors to the VIPs. Is there a reason why Crown might have only taken that sort of approach, whereas the Star has just gone hell for leather and allowed anyone to sort of come in?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were confused by it, if you were shrugging your kind of shoulders and thinking, what on earth is going on here? I mean, I think we all are. There's no doubt that money laundering practices was taking place within Star and within Casino. I'm sorry, within Crown Casino. But yet, they have two completely different approaches. I mean, to kind of give a certain amount of respect here to Crown, they have really tried to kind of clean up their operations, and there have been kind of new anti-money laundering practices in force within Casino. So anything now over $10,000 has to be kind of recorded. Well, this isn't really kind of a new legislation, but hopefully we can see kind of new enforcement of this kind of anti-money laundering practices within both of Sydney's two prime casino operations. But really, we should be kind of wondering kind of why is it that casinos are allowed to open its doors if they are seen to be unfit to business? What does this really mean? Because really, at the heart of Sydney CBDs, we have two huge what we could see as money laundering practices. I know if there's not any sort of kind of culpability within these two organizations, there has certainly been negligence on their part. And I guess, especially with respect to Crown, only time will tell how much of the act has been cleaned up and how kind of stringent will they be enforcing, Australia's already strict anti-money laundering practices, rules and regulations, that is. It's not to do with lack of kind of, again, rules as to anti-money laundering in Australia. It has some of the toughest regulations in the world, but it's just the way in which it's been enforced or not enforced within our casinos.